welcome to Comic Talk Today for Tuesday, July 10th, 2018, and this is the news. We have to kick off this episode of the news with a little bit of sad news. Steve Ditko has passed away. I'm sure many of you have heard this by now. It's been all over social media. Steve Ditko, of course, one of the most famous Marvel writers of the early era into the 50s and 60s. He's helped create Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and a bunch of other characters. Pretty sad news to hear about this. He was 90 years old, found dead in his home in New York City. Unknown causes, but my assumption is natural causes. So our sentiments go out to his family and his fans. And Ditko was a really interesting guy. I found this quote from an interview that he did in 69. And Ditko was one of those guys that didn't like to do a lot of interviews or, you know, like going to cons or doing press stuff. He liked to stick to himself. And he said, "When I do a job, it's not my personality that I'm offering the readers, but my artwork. It's not what I like that counts. It's what I did and how well it was done. I produce a product, a comic art story. Steve Ditko is the brand name." Really interesting guy, and he will be missed for sure. Moving on from there to the little more exciting news. And this to me is the biggest story of the week, but, you know, some of you may disagree. And I know for a fact that some of you disagree because I was talking about this on Twitter and some of you are like, "Oh, is this really news?" And I was like, "Yes, it is." Batman the Animated Series is going to be streaming in high definition on DC Universe. And to me, that's a big deal. And here's the reason why. I own these things on DVD. It might be one of the few DVDs I have left in my house. I have, of course, recently been watching, well, not recently, over the last like year or so. I was doing a Batman-centric podcast called I Am Gotham, which is on probably, let's say, temporary hiatus. And, you know, Jay from Best of the Rest podcast and I were doing some discussions on the Batman the Animated Series for that show. And so they are available on Amazon Prime. If you have that, they're free to watch. And they will be on the DC Universe streaming service when that comes out. But the thing is, this is a show made in the 90s. And of course, back in the 90s, we had Square TVs, kids. I don't know if you remember Square TVs, but they were not that cool. They were huge, they were heavy, and they cut off a lot of the image. And now, with HD, we have these widescreen TVs that are much nicer to look at. But it loses a little bit to me when I watch these shows that I really, really love. I mean, Batman the Animated Series is, without a doubt, one of my favorite shows of all time. And, you know, there's the little black bars on the side. With this HD release, we're not going to have that. It's going to be the full screen. Which is interesting because, of course, a lot of the times these shows, even though they were being put out in a regular square format, a 4x3 format, they were not filmed that way. They were really filmed in a wider aspect ratio. And so now we're going to see this. We're not going to lose anything by having it transcribed over to HD. And I think it's going to make it such a better experience. I know some of you were commenting on the tweet that I put out about, well, is it really that big a deal? It's an animated series. Like, how much HD can you make a cartoon? And I think it will make a difference. There will be some picture quality, but I think for me, the biggest thing is having the whole thing fill up the screen. So I'm very excited to see how this looks when it comes out. I know there were some images put out. It's hard to tell on an image because, again, it is an animated show. So, you know, you don't really lose a lot of definition with an animated series. You know, if it was live action, you definitely would lose a lot between standard definition and high definition. But I'm very excited for this. I hope that whenever this thing comes out, still supposed to be in August, no date yet. But remember, San Diego Comic-Con is coming, so I'm sure they'll be announced there. I'm sure this is going to look beautiful in HD. And while we're on the TV, movie, media front, I want to talk briefly about this Spawn movie. Because yesterday, and even into this morning, I know I got the image email late last night, Jeremy Renner's joining the Spawn movie that's being directed by Todd McFarlane. And I know some of you have been a little iffy about how this movie will go. I was a big fan of the original film. I love the HBO series that came out with Spawn. And I'm very excited to see this new take on Spawn because I think what McFarlane is trying to do is really what I love about horror, right? And he said this in interviews where he doesn't want Spawn to be the central figure of the movie. He's going to be kind of like the monster in the shadows. And judging by this press release that came out, announcing Jeremy Renner, of course, Hawkeye from the Marvel movies, joining the film, it has me really excited about what this could be. So I'm going to read a little quote here that I found in the article. "Spawn is King Arthur and Twitch is Sir Lancelot. And this isn't about physicality or jumping over buildings. This is more brawn and brain combination. And the first film I think of with him is The Hurt Locker, the Art McGrunt doing the job that spilled out into the roles leading up to Wind River." That's such an interesting description. And I never thought about that, but I think Jeremy Renner's a good action star. I know he may not be the typical action star, but I love his action films. Even the Bourne movie that he did, I think was, it wasn't the best, but you know what? He did a pretty good job at that. And, you know, he's a smaller guy, and I think he will fit in with Twitch perfectly. I like the fact that Twitch being given such a big role in this movie, because, I love the Sam and Twitch story that came out. I think it was a miniseries. Can't remember how many issues, but, it was a really interesting take. And something that wasn't really being done too much at the time. Of course, we had like Gotham Central and books like that over at DC. So it had that vibe. And I like that this movie is going in that direction. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm excited to have Jeremy Renner joining. Of course, Jamie Foxx is set to play Spawn, which I think is an interesting choice. And I look forward to this. There's still no release date announced for this movie. I think it's going to be sometime next May that it comes out. So still plenty of time to go. I hope that that gives them enough time to make this a worthwhile movie. Let's head back to the comics. And of course, if we're talking about comics, we have to talk about Brian Michael Bendis. And I have a couple of bit of DC news. There is an interview over at Newsarama with Brian Michael Bendis explaining what he's doing between Superman in Action, how the two titles will be different. And of course, it's important because this week, Superman number one comes out. And I'll be talking about that in the Comic Predictor segment at the end of the episode. Basically, what Bendis is doing is he's going to be telling two different stories, but complementary stories in both of these titles. And Superman will be basically about Superman. Makes sense, right? It's the name of the title. But Superman dealing with big villains, big cosmic events, dealing with his powers, dealing with how those things impact the world. Whereas Action Comics will be related more to the more grounded side. It'll deal more with Clark Kent and what Lois has been up to and what John Kent's been up to. And I find that really interesting that Bendis is going in this direction. And I think it's something that we used to have, right, with Action and Superman back in the day. Same with, like, Batman and Detective, where the eponymous title was actually about that only that character and how that character dealt with events. And then the complimentary book has always been kind of about the cast of characters surrounding that person, how those people are impacted by the actions of the main character. And I like that because I think what Bendis has done with Man of Steel really brings Superman back to an era that I think Superman was really fantastic, right? A lot of it feels very much like, let's say, 80s DC, right? It's got that feel, the way that the book is written, the language that's used. I've really enjoyed Man of Steel. And of course, having two books now, he's able to split off all the stuff that we got in Man of Steel into two separate stories that will be complementary. And I'm sure at some point they'll cross over. Probably not as we used to have crossovers back in the 90s when you had all the triangles and the squares and all this stuff. So you know what the reading order of the book was. But a really, really interesting interview. Definitely check it out. He does talk quite a bit about, well, not quite a bit, but a little bit about what the deal is with Lois and John, and of course they will be back. He mentions there that Lois will be back pretty quickly into the book, and then John will soon follow right after her. So a lot of people were worried that when Bendis came in, he was going to kind of get rid of the Clark-Lois-John relationship, and that seems to not be the case at all. So I'm very excited to check out Superman number one when it comes out this week, and of course Action when that launches. While still on the DC front, there was a little bit of additional information given about these DC Walmart exclusives. I know many of you went out and picked them up. I put out a poll on Twitter, and the results are pretty interesting. The majority of you that answered the poll actually went out and picked up these books or wanted to pick up these books. I think it was like 43%, 38% did not want to pick them up. And then the remainder said that you had no idea what it was, which I find a little odd that you wouldn't know what it was. I think some of you are trolling the poll, but that's fine. It's fine. I forgive you. I still love you. Now, I did go to my local Walmart, and I have this thing with Walmart, as many of you know, where I try to avoid Walmart whenever I can. I went a little late, so the only book that was left was the Justice League book, which is fine. I did go through it a little bit. I need to go and find the Batman Superman, but I'm not going to be paying the exorbitant prices on eBay, which is like, you know, 20, 30 bucks for an issue. Not interested in that. But I will be a little more diligent when the next issue comes out for all these books and make sure that I do pick them up. In particular, once issue 3's come out, because that's when the exclusive content comes out, right? Tom King doing Superman and Bendis doing Batman. And there's a quote that I saw in one of these press things from Tom King about the actual deal. And it seems that as part of having these be Walmart exclusives, Walmart requested to have big name creators on the book telling original stories. And of course, that makes total sense. Total sense. Tom King said, "My goal in doing the Superman Walmart book is to put new customers into comic shops. You like the Superman? Go check out this Batman. Why exclusive then? That was the price we had to pay to get this opportunity. I don't like it, but I think it's worth it. And I agree. I think it's worth it. I talked quite a bit about whether I wanted to get these books or not. And eventually, of course, I decided to get them. Maybe a little late. But again, I'll be more diligent going forward. But it is important, right? And I don't know if these things are selling to people to buy them and put them on eBay, for those of you that can't get them, or if there's actually people picking them up. Because the collectible section has always been there. It's been at Walmarts for, oh god, at least a decade. And yeah, it's in a weird place. It's kind of between registers and whatever, but it's very accessible. And the majority of the time, they're found at the front of the store. Now, I saw some people on Twitter, you know, kind of whining about, oh, you have to, like, get your hiking equipment and jump up a mountain and do this and that and the other to get to it. That's not true. Okay, these things are pretty close to the front door. They're between two registers at all the Walmarts locally to me. And I did go to four different ones to see if I could find these books. It's literally in between the self-checkout section, which is right by one of the exits, and the first manned register. So they're not hard to find. You can easily find them. But it seems like these things are going well. I hope they are successful, and I hope that we do get to see a lot more of this, because it's important. As you know, comic medium, a lot of people go to digital. I know I've gone mostly to digital nowadays. A lot of people go to digital. A lot of people maybe not go into comic shops, maybe just lose interest in comics. This could be a nice way to bring in new people. And a really interesting quote from Tom King. I do hope that once these original stories kick off in issue 3, they will end up doing even better than they've been doing so far. Last bit of DC stuff. I thought I was done, but I guess not. There's a new book coming out in September called Batman's Anatomy of a Metahuman. And this is going to be written by S.D. Perry and Matthew Manning and illustrated by Ming Doyle. And goodness gracious, this does look great. It is a 160-page hardcover. I'm assuming this will be available also in bookstores if you don't have a comic shop near you. But basically, it's an encyclopedia of DC metahumans. And from the images that were put out, I saw there's a Superman on there, there's Cheetah, there's Swamp Thing. And basically, it's like full page or double page spreads detailing kind of how these people work, right? It's got little blurbs on who the character is, what they're about, and then like diving into the physiology and the biology of how these people use their abilities, how maybe they acquired the abilities, written supposedly in Batman's tone of voice, right? So he's compiling all this information of metahumans. And we know Batman's done that for a long time, right? He always keeps as much information as he can on his friends, his enemies, other people in the DC universe, just so he has some kind of advantage, right? The joke used to always be, if you pit Batman against any hero or villain in the universe, who would win? And the right answer is always Batman, given enough time to prepare. And that's still the case. And I find it really interesting that DC is taking that motto, that saying, and kind of turning it into a book, right? Because now we have this encyclopedia of DC universe characters, and something that we can look at. And I love the illustrations on them. It looks really, really interesting. And of course, these are all fake characters, right? These are not real people. But I like that DC wants to try this kind of thing. And I know for the hardcore nerds of the DC universe, like myself, I will definitely be picking this up. I cannot wait to see how this looks in print. This book will be coming out on September 16th, and it's called DC Comics, An Anatomy of a Metahuman. Definitely check that out. Moving over to Comixology, of course, we have the Comixology Originals. They're actually still pretty good. I know a couple of the books came out, the second issues came out, the new Elephant Man and the new Astro Mercy issues came out last week. I think they're still really, really solid. Comixology, of course, is set to release a new wave of Comixology original books coming out at San Diego Comic-Con on July 18th. There's going to be a press event, so if you're going to be there, you might want to check these out. I will be anxiously watching the Twitch stream to see what the new books announced are. But the new set of creators are going to be Christian Donaldson, Tish Doolin, Altifer Masia, Sam Humphries, Megan Kearney, Kale McDonald, Hope Nicholson, Mac Norton, M.K. Reed, Mark Sable, C. Spike Trotman, Jen Vaughn, and Magdalene Visaggio. Really great talent on these books, and I can't wait to see what the new wave of Comixology Originals are. Because remember, if you're a Prime subscriber, or if you're a Comixology Unlimited subscriber, which I am both, then you get these for free. And I think that's a great deal. You know, the more comics I can read, the better. Even though I was joking with my buddy Rob Krieger the other day on Twitter about how many books I read. He's like, I don't know how you find time to do anything. And to be honest, Rob, I have no idea. That's a great question. Now, I was joking yesterday's episode that I read 27 books last week. And he's like, it feels like you read 27 books a day. And some days it does feel that way, man. You're right. I read a lot of new books. I'm reading, you know, trades all the time. I'm reading back issues of stuff that I really enjoy. So, you know, I still can't get enough. I'm telling you, if I could just read comics as a full-time job, I would definitely do that. Heading over to Archie Comics, and you're thinking, I don't care about Archie. Let's go to the next thing. Listen, this is a big deal. Big deal. Archie 700 is coming out in November. And you're thinking to yourself, but Martin, that book's on like issue 50. And you're right, it is. But Archie is doing the good old Marvel thing and going back to legacy numbering coming in November. They're going to be launching Archie 700 into a bold new era. And why bold, you say? That's because Nick Spencer, yes, Secret Empire Nick Spencer, is taking over the Archie book starting issue 700 with art by Marguerite Sauvage. And I've been in and out of these Archie books. When they relaunched them, I picked them up for a little bit. I thought they were good, but I've never been a huge Archie guy. Then Mark Waid took over. I checked those out. They were still great, but I kind of ended up losing interest. And I'll definitely be picking up issue 700 with this new creative team. I love Marguerite Sauvage's art. I was introduced to her stuff in the Faith miniseries that Valiant put out. And then, of course, she was doing some art for the ongoing. And I think she even did a one-shot special for Faith for Valiant. Ever since then, she's gotten other work from other publishers, and I just love her art style. It's beautiful, it's clean, it's very different. It's got a little bit of a European sensibility, which I like in comics, and I definitely want to check this out. Last bit of news I want to talk about, because I had no idea this was a thing, and of course nobody did, because it was a secret. Robert Kirkman, that Walking Dead guy, is secretly launching a new book called Die, Die, Die with Chris Burnham. It's coming out tomorrow as the time of this podcast coming out, so on New Comic Book Day. And this is not a book that was solicited, which I found really interesting. This is a book that was kind of secretly dropped on retailers. And basically what they're doing is they're whatever number of copies a store ordered for Oblivion Song number 1, that store will be receiving that many copies of Die, Die, Die number 1 when it comes out tomorrow. Now, what this book is about, I have no idea. Of course, there's no solicitation, so I can't dive into it. Judging by the cover, it's going to be extremely violent. It looks like on the top of the cover, there's two characters with swords and guns. I know one of the jokes was this is like a Cable Deadpool thing. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know. And then the bottom part of the cover has a character that looks like Hillary Clinton at the White Office, or at the White House. And at the bottom, there's a character that looks like Hillary Clinton at the White House, drinking some whiskey, apparently, at the Oval Office. And that's about all I know. I don't know anything about this book. But apparently, there's going to be a lot of death, a lot of violence, a lot of blood. And that's pretty obvious from the cover. Am I going to pick this up? I don't know. I'm not the biggest Kirkman fan, guys. I don't know if you've heard this, but I'm not the biggest Kirkman fan. I like some of his stuff. I think Oblivion Song is actually maybe one of my favorite things he's done recently. Of course, I love Invincible. That might be my all-time favorite book that he's done. And really one of the all-time great superhero comics, I would say, even. But I don't know. And I don't know how I feel about this, because I'm sure some shops will be, they'll be a little worried about what to do with this book, right? If this was not solicited, there's no news on it until the day before release, how many people are going to know about this, right? And that's part of the reason I wanted to talk about it, because now I'm interested in checking it out. You know, comic shop space is often very limited, so where are they going to put these books? Are people actually going to buy them? What's the returnability on them? I'm assuming because it was thrown out to retailers, this will be 100% returnable. But then again, I'm assuming they're not being charged if they're just matching Oblivion Song numbers, because Oblivion Song did quite well in the sales numbers. So we'll see how all that goes. I'm sure we'll have more information later on today or even tomorrow. And if there is more information, I'll sure be talking about it on this very podcast. That's going to be it for the news. And let's get on to the Comic Predictor, the segment every week in which I talk about some of the books that I'm looking forward to checking out on tomorrow's New Comic Book Day. And of course, I have to kick off with Relay number 1 from Aftershock Comics. This is Zach Thompson, Andy Clark, and this is a Philip K. Dick-style apocalyptic sci-fi future craziness. I don't even know how to describe this book. The Zero issue came out on Free Comic Book Day. I hope you guys picked that up. I really enjoyed the Zero issue. It was a great, great story. Gave me a vibe of like, 2001 A Space Odyssey, but set in an alien planet, or actually multiple alien planets. The main story is going to be kind of different from that Zero issue, but I think it'll follow some of the same themes. And, it was really interesting. It's, you know, there's a monolith that shows up in this planet, and there's a guy that shows up with the monolith and kind of tries to educate these primitive cultures on different planets and what happens as a result of whether they believe in what he has to say or don't believe in what he has to say. And I'm very interested in this. I love 2001. I love Philip K. Dick. And of course, I love Zach Thompson. So definitely looking forward to check out Relay Number 1 from Aftershock Comics. It's a $3.99 book, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. So check that out. Another one that I'm really excited for, I talked a little bit about anthology books in, at least once a week, I think I mentioned how much I love them. And there's a new one coming out tomorrow. It's called, it came out on a Wednesday. This is from Alterna Comics. It's $1.99 because Alterna is great with their pricing thanks to the newsprint that they do on their books. It is an anthology book bringing in horror, sci-fi, fantasy stories. It's a bi-monthly book, double-sized, and it features tons of talent from Alterna, up-and-coming talent as well. There's interviews, there's contests, there's just like cover art mixed in there. I don't know. This looks really great. I love what Alterna does. I don't talk about Alterna on this podcast nearly enough, and I'll try to remedy that. But I'm very excited for it. It came out on a Wednesday. I love anthology books. And, you know, I tweeted out the other day that I wished more publishers did stuff like DC Nation. And, of course, friend of the show Mike Myers talked about Image Plus that Image is still doing. I thought they had quit that, Mike, so I apologize. But I'll be checking that out. And now we have It Came Out on a Wednesday. And I'm very excited to see this. Alterna is really, really growing very quickly over the last year or so. And this is a publisher that you should definitely be checking out more of. It Came Out on a Wednesday from Alterna Comics. Will be out tomorrow. Going over to Dark Horse, I will be picking up Aliens Dust to Dust number 2. This is Gabriel Herdman and Rain Barreto. And, of course, set in the Aliens universe from the film franchise. I love the Aliens franchise. I love the Predators franchise. I will buy pretty much any book that has Aliens or Predators in them. I own, I think, all of them, if not in actual single floppies. I own the trades or the compendiums or the omnibuses or whatever else. But the first issue I talked about on this podcast when it came out, and that's been a little while. I think that came out like 2 months ago, so I'm not sure what the schedule is on this. But a really fantastic first issue. I look forward to seeing this next one. It's definitely in the vein of the original Alien movie, which is a little more horror-based than the rest of the franchise, which tended to lean a little more sci-fi. So you guys know I love horror books. This may be my horror fix for today, along with the next book that I'm going to talk about, which is Farmhand over at Image Comics. This is Rob Guillory and doing the writing and the art. And it's a story of a future in which humanity not only farms crops, but also farms body parts. And the cover looks great. It's a farmer. The cover's really great. It's a farmer. He's watering some kind of device, and there are hands kind of coming out of the ground. Really fantastic cover. I think that really says a lot about what the book is. And, of course, how humanity deals with growing body parts and what that means and how that affects society. And, you know, whether there's a darker side to this new industry of growing body parts. And, you know, who gets to buy them and who doesn't. I think there could be some really interesting themes discussed in this particular series. Biotech is something that I'm really interested in nowadays because a lot of things are moving towards biotech, right? Genetically engineering crops and growing parts and growing new types of organisms, things like that. I love that kind of stuff. It's, of course, very sci-fi, and that's why I love it. But now it's coming to fruition, and I'm very excited to see what Farmhand is about. I hope the first issue delivers. Again, it's Farmhand number 1 by Rob Guillory from Image Comics. Another Image book that I think looks very interesting is She Could Fly number 1. This is Christopher Cantwell, Martin Morazzo, and Miroslav Merva coming out from Dark Horse, excuse me. And this, I'm going to read the synopsis because I think this might explain it better than I could. In Chicago, an unknown woman appears flying at speeds of 120 miles per hour and at heights reaching 2,000 feet. Then she suddenly dies in a fiery explosion midair. No one knows who she was, how she flew, or why. Luna, a disturbed 15-year-old girl, becomes obsessed with learning everything about her while rumors and conspiracy theories roll. Will cracking the secrets of the flying woman's inner life lead to the liberation from her own troubled mind? Man, that looks interesting. This is kind of one of those books, it almost like reminds me of what Astro City was, right? Where you have these really powerful beings, you have powerful beings going up against each other, but really the point of the book is to learn how that impacts the world around these characters. And I think that sounds so interesting. She Could Fly number 1 from Dark Horse. This might be one to check out. I did not know this was coming out until very recently. Of course, I'm a big, big fan of Martin Morazzo. He's a fantastic, fantastic creator. So I'll definitely be checking this one out. Let's go over to DC. Of course, Superman number 1 is out. Brian Michael Bendis, if you haven't heard, he's at DC. Joe Prado's doing the art, and it's Superman. I mean, you know, if you didn't realize, I didn't talk about Man of Steel 6 much on yesterday's episode because I talk about it every week. I'm sure I'll be talking about Superman number 1 this week. This new take on Superman I think is brilliant. I love the DC stuff, the Rebirth stuff that was going on with Superman and Action Comics, but I'm really excited for this Bendis stuff. I think Bendis is just nailing it. So I'm excited to check that out. That's all I will say on Superman number 1. Detective Comics number 984, Brian Hill, Phillips Burrons, and Eddie Burroughs, of course, comes out as well. And this follows the Outsider story that I'm very excited about because I love the Outsiders, with Black Lightning and Batman dealing with this new Karma villain. I can't wait to see how this issue rolls out. And then from there, we'll go to Marvel. There's two Marvel books I'm excited for. X-23 number 1. This is Marika Tamaki, whom I absolutely love. I think she's such a brilliant writer. And I'm glad that she's getting another book. I wish it was kind of a bigger title at Marvel. But I think she'll do great with X-23. Juan Cabal and Mike Choi as well on this book. And this follows Laura Kinney, who is Wolverine's daughter/clone. And I love the character. I love the all-new Wolverine book that was coming out. I think it was highly, highly underrated. And I'm very excited to see what this new X-23 book's about. Finally, also from Marvel, is Amazing Spider-Man number 1, written by Nick Spencer, who, of course, we talked about taking over Archie at the beginning of the episode, who did Secret Empire and Captain America. Very divisive event and title, I would say, last year, with art by Ryan Ottley, who did Invincible for, years and years and years. So now that Invincible is over, he's taking over Spider-Man, and I think he's the perfect artist for this. He's got that art style that I think will fit very well with the character. And this kicks off with an alien invasion, because space! I mean, come on. It's a $5.99 book that has me... I wish Marvel would quit doing this $5.99 books. Look, I understand why they're double-sized and blah, 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 and they're new number ones, but listen. $6 for a book, Marvel? Come on, guys. It's Spider-Man. People are going to buy this. Don't pad your numbers by doubling the price of a book just because it's a number one issue. However, I'm excited to see how this new take is going to be. I hope that it's less divisive of a run than Captain America was, but I'm excited to check out the new Spidey stories. You know, Bendis is gone from Spider-Man. Dan Slott is gone from Spider-Man. We've got a new creative team, new direction. I'm excited to see what this is about. You know, I want to love Spider-Man again, okay? Not that I didn't love Spider-Man. Spider-Man was fine before, okay? Obviously, Dan Slott and Bendis, two great writers. But I'm ready for something new, right? Those guys were on, you know, tackling those characters for a very long time. Let's see what Nick Spencer has to say. Let's give it a chance. That's all I will say. But Marvel, fix this pricing thing. Not too happy with that. That is going to wrap up this episode of Comic Talk Today. Thank you all for listening once again. Of course, if you want to get in touch with me, at GeekVine is the best place on Twitter. NerdyLegion@gmail.com is the email address. Be sure to subscribe, share this podcast with your friends. I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you then.